Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Genesis 37, 1 through 4, and 12 to 28. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. His father's wives and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are you not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them," he answered. "Here I am." So he said to them, "Go now and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent them from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers. I'm seeking my brothers, he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I have heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went to his brothers and found him at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what he will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into the pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, but he might rescue him out of their hands and restore his to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum balm and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. For he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When the Midianite traders passed, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Well, an uplifting, powerful scripture this morning, and inspiring. As you probably guessed from the anthem, and maybe if you are musically theater inclined, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is the musical about this story of Joseph. And that's where we find ourselves scripturally this morning. There's a story of two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals, and their stores were directly across the street from one another, and they would spend each day keeping track of each other's business. One night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, "I will give you anything, but whatever you receive, your competitor across the street will receive quite twice as much. Would you be rich? You'd be rich, but he would be twice as wealthy. Do you wish for long life? You would have a long life, but he would live twice as long. What is your desire?" And the man frowned and thought for a moment and then said, "Here is my request. Strike me blind in one eye." Ouch, right? That's hardcore. That's hardcore jealousy. We know that jealousy causes us not to think clearly, and like the person in this story, they were definitely letting jealousy cloud their vision. I'm sure we know from experience, maybe not to the extent, hopefully, of these two shopkeepers. But in our passage this morning, there is a simple message. It all boils down to the fact that the brothers of Joseph are jealous of him. They're jealous of his relationship to their father, jealous of his talents and his gifts of God, from God. They're even jealous of his clothing, his amazing technicolor dream coat. passage and the Holy Spirit always lead us back when we read these things to ourselves. We all know jealousy. We can't live life long without running into it. Even as little kids on the playground, when we, you know, they see someone playing with a toy that's not theirs, they get jealous, right? And they go up and they take it. And you have to say, you know, the parent or guardian, we don't take what's not ours, right? But that's the impulse is, I want that toy, I should just take it. So we may wonder, what does this passage have to say about jealousy and overcoming jealousy? Well, wonder no more. Let us explore the answer to this pressing question. In order to battle jealousy, we're going to start with some of the root causes. We're going to flush those out, and then we're going to look at the ways to combat jealousy. And then we're going to close with two kind of preventative steps. I love preventative steps to kind of get out ahead of these kinds of things. So jealousy typically grows out of several things within us. These are the root causes. Insecurity, fear, deception, and coveting. And we see each of these with the brothers of Joseph in this passage this morning. Personal insecurity is one of the root causes of jealousy. It can breed a whole host of jealous problems. Most of the time, our security or lack thereof is based mostly or solely on the opinion, affirmation, and acceptance of other people in our lives. So when we base it on that, we leave ourselves wide open to jealousy because this kind of security is fickle and it's fleeting at best. When we put all of our eggs in this basket of other people's opinions of us, we become dangerously insecure. And this can cause us to feel rejected, unloved. The natural course of this thinking then leads us to perceive the strength of others and as threats to our own well-being. Joseph's brothers were insecure in who they were in their gifting and their relationship to their father. Their father's approval, their father's opinion of them became paramount, and the golden child brother Joseph was seen as a threat to them all. This leads them to throw their brother into a pit, which was plan B. They wanted to, like we said in the passage this morning, they wanted to kill him. And this insecurity and wanting of approval led them to sell him to a slave traders just to get rid of him. This was not just one of the brothers that battled the green-eyed monster. It was all of them together. All 11 brothers wanted to get rid of him. We see this insecurity clearly because they refer to him and they kind of make fun of him as they come up. They see him from a distance. What do they call him? Dreamer, right? Oh, here comes that dreamer, right? That was a gift from God to him. That was his gifting. He used it for great things, and God ends up using it. See, Joseph knew his identity. He knew his sense of self before God and others, and this just drove his brothers crazy. His strength and his talents became a threat to them. His brothers mocked him because of it, because of their insecurity. But we need to know, like Joseph knew, that our value, our self-worth is not based on the opinion of others, not in the least, that our worth, our value, it rests on God and God's view and opinion of us. There are so many scriptural examples of this, and the Psalms especially cover this idea. Psalm 27:10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for I lift up my soul. As this psalm says, we need to remember and be reminded that it is God whom we trust and who we check on and how we're doing in life. We are great and wonderful, not because people in our life say that we're great and wonderful, but because the creator of the universe says it about us each and every moment. And God's opinion of us is unchanging and like we've said before, ever deeply loving. So insecurity can be a root cause of jealousy, but so can fear. Fear can be another kind of instigator of jealousy. A life of fear is just as devastating to relationships in life as insecurity, and fear breeds jealousy. Controlling most of our lives through fear will not help us maintain the relationships that we want or the positions in our life that we desire. We usually let fear be at the helm. Most of the time, we let fear be the motivator for a lot of the things that we do. Fear of letting go, fear of losing, fear of changes, fear of missing out. We tend to be afraid of so much, but we learn that there's nothing we can hang on to through fear that's worth what we're giving up when we do that. This cryptic kind of statement refers to the peace that we can know through God. That there's nothing greater than what we already have in God, and jealousy grows when we forget that. What we learn is that in the end, jealousy does not keep anything. It ends up pushing things away. Look no further than Star Wars, A New Hope. Princess Leia says to Darth Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin, "The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems that slip through your fingers," right? So trying to hold on and hold on tightly, we end up losing more than we've had. The brothers of Joseph were not afraid of Joseph, but afraid that their dad didn't love them, or that they had to offer God, and afraid that what they had to offer God was not as good as what Joseph had, and their father was not as good as what Joseph could be. And that was the fear that leads to jealousy, fear that the brothers would miss out on a relationship with their father, would not be as loved as Joseph was. So when fear is causing our jealousy, we kind of need to decipher what is the fear that is motivating our feelings of jealousy. And then we can combat it by remembering having God and being with God has made us, you know, who we are, and this love and relationship drives out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." The Holy Spirit reminds us that there's no need to fear anything when we're nestled in God's love. The things we fear to lose or fear to give up pale in comparison to the love that we have from the divine. So we have insecurity is one thing. Fear can be another cause of jealousy, but then so can deception. Deception can play a role in kind of cultivating jealousy in our hearts. See, we may perceive a threat that in reality doesn't exist, and our perception of life is distorted due to the lies we believe about others and ourselves. Look at Joseph's brothers. They all saw him as a threat to them, even though in reality he was not that at all. He loved his brothers. He was going out to meet them to help them in the field. They thought he would take the love of their father away, which was not the case at all, but from their perspective, it was distorted. Their distorted perception, that's what the reality had become. I think we probably do this in our life from time to time, right? Some nodding out there, maybe? I know I did, and I will give you an example from my life. In seminary, there was this guy. He's probably 6'6". He's about the tallest, you know, Dutch guy from Germany that I'd ever seen growing up in Maine. And he wore suspenders all the time. And I called him Suspenders Guy. I didn't know his name. But he was like, if you can imagine, I wish we had a screen or something, because I'd love to show you a picture of Adam. He's super tall, and he wore these, like, big, you know, he'd always wear suspenders. And in class, I mean, he's a super genius. He's one of the smartest people that I know. But I always called him Suspenders Guy, and I didn't like him because, you know, he was smarter than me and taller than me and more Dutch than I'll ever be, because I'm not Dutch at all. But, you know, like, you know how we do that with those kind of things. But then through a mutual friend, we made a connection. He said, "I went on this trip with this guy, Adam. Do you know him?" And I was like, "Oh, I know Suspenders Guy. I know him." And then he said, "No, you know, you guys actually talk pretty much the same. Like, you have the same kind of sense of humor, and you like the same kind of, I think you need to talk to him." I was like, "I'm not going to talk to Suspenders Guy. If he wants to come talk to me, that's okay." But then we ended up sitting down and talking, and it turns out that we've been best friends ever since, which is amazing. And he was at my wedding, and he's awesome. He's pastoring a church in Iowa right now. But he ended up and still is one of my best friends. But my perception of him, my jealousy about what he knew, what his abilities were, clouded my judgment about who he was as a person. And I was missing out on a great relationship that ended up being one of the more important relationships in my life. This is not found only with people, this self-deception, but we deceive ourselves when we think things, life, relationships are better than for other people. And that's another way that we kind of, not only do we deceive ourselves and perceive other people as threats, but a lot of times we see, what's the phrase? The grass is always greener, right? We see somebody else and we think, oh, you know, like we get jealous of others who seem to have it better than us, or seem to, from our perspective, get all the good stuff and nothing hard ever happens. But we all know that when you dig deeper, their life isn't any better. Not usually. We deceive ourselves. We taint our thinking about it. Social media in general, doesn't really help us with that. This isn't new with social media and where we are now. Anybody remember the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Who hosted that? Oh, come on. I know. Robin Leach. Wow. All right. Over in the corner. If I could throw candy, I'd throw candy over in the corner. Yeah, Robin Leach, right? So that was the whole purpose of that show. Everything that's come after that is the idea was, these are famous people. Let's take a look at their house and how wonderful their life is, right? How do you do that and not start to look around your house and be like, well, I wish I had 12 bathrooms, you know? Right? And so that kind of thinking, that it taints, and so we become even more and more jealous, and we don't see the things that we have as enough anymore, because people who have more, people who have greater, always it changes how we perceive it. But the thing to combat this is that God is a God who is all about truth. And if we seek God and seek God's truth, we're not deceived by ourselves or anything else for that matter. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And this way we can kind of get in out ahead of jealousy, nip it in the bud if we call on God and that he revealed the truth to us in any given situation. So we see someone who has those things and say, is that really something that I need, or is it just something that's on my heart? And this kind of ties into the last of the root causes, which is coveting, which is a deep desire to obtain possessions of another person. This is one from the example, the beginning of the sermon, and probably the one that we know best. This leads to aggressive jealousy that's spoken of in the Bible. The Ten Commandments, over and over again, kind of have the second part list a lot of things that thou shalt not covet. Covetousness invades when we're not satisfied, like I said, with the blessings God has bestowed upon us, or when we have the temporary amnesia about God and all that God has kind of done for us. This is shown clearly in this passage this morning with the brothers and the coat that was a gift from their dad. They wanted it. They wanted what the coat represented. They weren't content with all that they had, or that their father took good care of them, or that they all worked together. And we do covet. We usually are, we know, and we're usually honest with ourselves more than other people when we covet something. When I see a 1965 Ford Mustang convertible, I must say that I am completely guilty of coveting. Anybody have one of those? All right, good. I want to make sure I can still pastor here. Because I'll see you driving all the time and say, oh, that's a nice car. Though we can show this, and we show it actually a little more clearly when we kind of do the opposite. When we see something that we really want, sometimes we'll downplay, or we'll kind of say it's not as great as it is. You know, I wouldn't want that kind of car anyway, or pay the insurance on that. Ford stands for fix or repair daily, you know. Like any of those kind of statements that we might make to kind of downplay what other people have so that we feel better about what we have. Now, whatever that 1965 Ford Mustang convertible is for you, it will never be as great as the reality of God and who God is in your life. There's something within us that wants, and if God is the object of that wanting, and it's directed in the right direction, we can get out ahead of jealousy. If we look to God to provide and not compare what we have to others, then we can battle jealousy at its roots. So those are the causes of jealousy, and there's others, I'm sure, in our lives. But jealousy, simply put, is the pain that arises when someone has something that you don't have, which you think you need to have to be fully satisfied. This can be emotional, it can be tangible, it can be anything. So if I'm jealous of someone's oceanfront house, it's because I believe I need an oceanfront house to be fully satisfied. Or I'm jealous of someone's athletic ability, it's because I believe I need more athletic ability to be fully satisfied. Or I'm jealous of someone's fame, it's because I believe I need to be more famous to be satisfied. So when we're jealous, the problem lies solely in our faith. We're not trusting God's promise that God in our life will satisfy us. We're trusting that something else will satisfy us more than Jesus. This is the fight of faith each day. So how can we fight, you know, this to overcome? We can set our faith back on Jesus. Even with our jealous feelings, even when we're weak in our faith, you don't need to overcome your jealousy first. You can't come to God just as you are and trust him, and that will change you. He will every time. Always, you know, check in on what's going on in our hearts when we feel this way. Do a heart check, not just as a doctor or just come to get your temperature checked outside. What is it you think you need to be happy? Is it friends, good looks, you know, bigger house, better job, more money? But be specific. So what is the problem? It's not that we don't have these things. It's that we've turned from trusting that they will be completely satisfying. We can prayerfully set our heart back on God. Pray earnestly for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. So I'll leave us this morning with just kind of two preventive steps. I love, like I said, I love preventive steps. I love things that I can kind of walk away from and are tangible and I can kind of implement in my life. First, just lift this week, lift up to God any of the desires that you have in your heart. Whatever it is you want or think you want, the amazing thing is God already knows. God already knows it before you've said it out loud. God already knows what you're thinking in your mind. So whatever comes into your heart, pray and ask God for you to have them. Pour out your soul before him. Feel free to weep before him. Be honest before him about all the things that you desire. Lifting your desires to God will help you to be content so that you're strong. And so it's not something that kind of builds up inside and leads out to other things. Just be honest about the things and then you'll find out if that's really what you need. And the second thing that I've always found helpful and I think is helpful to us is that we got to trust that God doesn't hold anything back that's good for us. God promises that whatever God gives is tailor-made to bring you the most joy in following God. That's true about fame, about promotions, about friends, about anything. So whether God does or does not give us fame, whatever he chooses will bring the most joy in Christ. Trusting that God withholds nothing good from us will help us squash jealousy when it's working on us. This is so important to work on because jealousy can hurt us. As we saw in this passage, God ended up making it work out for good, and we'll see as the scriptures in the next couple weeks kind of lead us through the rest of Joseph's story, but it ends up hurting time that could have been very special for the family. And I'm going to leave this morning where there's a fable about an eagle, which I think demonstrates this. There's an eagle who could outfly another, and he saw this other eagle who could fly higher than he could, and he saw a sportsman, and he said, will you bring down that other eagle because I want to be the highest flying eagle? So the sportsman said, yes, I do, but I need another feather to kind of reach that far to be able to shoot the arrow that far to kill this other eagle. And so the envious eagle pulls out a feather and gives it to him, and he shoots it, and it doesn't quite reach the eagle that's in the sky. And so the jealous eagle keeps pulling more and more feathers to make sure that this arrow can take out this other eagle that he's jealous of. And then by the point that the eagle is taken down, the eagle has given up all of its feathers and it can't fly anymore anyway. So we don't want to be the eagle that can't fly because we're hurting ourselves in jealousy. We just want to find contentment, seek after God, and just care for one another in this time. Amen.